The Business of Intelligence Gathering.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning, I'm David Brancaccio. House Republicans have introduced their version of a bill that would ban insider trading by lawmakers. In it, they've removed provisions in the Senate bill that would have helped monitor the many men and women in Washington who traffic in what's called political intelligence. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Policymakers and people trying to make changes to policy are always on the lookout for good information. James Thurber is a professor at American University.
Political intelligence in Washington is a very valuable commodity.
Political intelligence is more than just the words in a bill or who supports an amendment. Paul Aquale runs a consulting firm, and political intelligence used to be part of his portfolio.
It's the ability to put it into some kind of a context that is meaningful so that observers can figure out the likelihood of one event occurring or not occurring.
And he says there are plenty of buyers willing to pay top dollar for that kind of information.
News media, investment firms, corporations, any number of entities that have an interest in what may or may not happen on Capitol Hill.
The Senate's version of the bill would have required political intelligence firms to register with the government to file disclosure forms. The political intelligence industry objects to that, and House Republicans say the rules, as they're written, are too vague. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
They call it Yahoo, but the online portal, as they used to label it, is an unhappy place these days. The chairman and three other Yahoo board members have just stepped down. Co-founder Jerry Lang recently quit, and before that, the CEO Carol Bartz was fired. If you have a great new business strategy for Yahoo that'll help them start making lots of money again, you might want to pop them an email. And I'm only half kidding. Laura DiDio, a tech industry analyst at the consulting firm ITIC, says it's not that Yahoo is a bad search engine.
The issue is that they are being subsumed, if you will, just by the sheer power and marketing muscle that the Googles, you know, of the world have. And that's really tough.
She says job one for new leadership at Yahoo may be selling parts, if not all of the company, and doing something to cure a sense of dread over there.
They're also going to have to jumpstart employee morale, which has got to be at an all-time low, given all of these upheavals that have been going on over the past several years as they lose market share.
Perhaps it's the exclamation point at the end of the Yahoo name that's holding it back. Now let's do the numbers. The Dow will start trading at 12,846 today. We'll soon come across a lot of chatter about the prospect that the Dow will cross above the 13,000 milestone, its level back in March of 2008. Today, some market players have it figured that Greece is making progress toward its bailout, and with its creditors pushing the likelihood of default down slightly. The Wall Street Journal also has a piece that the European Central Bank is being especially helpful and flexible toward Greece. The FTSE 100 index in London is up just a sliver currently. The German DAX index up 0.75%. The Nikkei in Japan closed up 1.1%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest. By GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com.
Right out front in the Ponzi scheme Hall of Fame is Bernard Madoff. The New York financier pled guilty to a $65 billion fraud in 2009. But if prosecutors are right, Alan Stanford should have his own shrine. Stanford's accused of a $7 billion scheme to defraud investors. The case may have fallen off your radar, but Stanford's on trial in a Houston court, and today the government's star witness is on the stand. Terry Langford is a Houston Chronicle reporter covering the trial. Morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Remind us about the whole Alan Stanford situation. He's accused of crimes involving dollar figures that have a B for billions, right?
That is correct. He is accused in a 14-count indictment of fraud through CD sales from his offshore bank in Antigua. He was arrested, and he is considered the largest accused Ponzi schemer to be tried.
So as you've watched the trial so far, is there an emerging picture of Alan Stanford himself?
Probably you would have to say that was tied to the testimony of James Davis, his former CFO. He worked for Stanford for nearly 20 years. He's talked about secret bank accounts in Switzerland. He's talked about bribes to Antigua. Others have testified again and again about his sort of quick temper. He had a desire to always have the best buildings, the best service, the best of everything.
I think the world will be paying close attention to the Alan Stanford trial, in part to figure out how systems set up to protect investors broke down so spectacularly, it seems.
That's what's been really interesting to watch, how infrequently the SEC seemed to check in. In 2005, they sent a letter to Antigua saying they were interested. Little did they know that the Antiguan regulator they were sending to was supposedly on the payroll. I cover government a lot, and people I talk to in government always say, you expect too much of government, you give us too much credit. And we have to remember that it's very slow, and that's what happened here. There were people that had suspicions, but they didn't quickly follow through.
Terry Langford, Houston Chronicle, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
And finally, put an aroma in a bus shelter, and you will get coverage in London and some other UK cities. You can now press a button waiting for the bus, and the smell of McCain ready-baked potatoes wafts out. When the Got Milk people tried this with cloying cookie smell in San Francisco a while back, it was met with outrage. The city's transit agency quickly ordered the system removed, prompting a famous email from an advertising guy who wrote that San Francisco, quote, had made herself safe from bus shelters that smell like, and then he named two nasty smells more common to city bus shelters. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
There's been a lot of belt tightening since the economy went bad, quite literally, as it turns out.
When times are bad, people get healthier over many dimensions, and there seems to be a reduction in obesity when the economy weakens.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, fighting obesity the Freakonomics way. We'll have that and the news from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.